Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I just want to ask you a couple questions. One question is, what happens in your life? What happens in you, okay? What happens in you when you make Jesus the Lord of your life? And I know we've thought about that before, and I know we've got it all figured out. But I've learned, like, just in my life personally, in overseeing the staff in the church, when we've got guys that have been on staff for 15, but Brian Tyler's been on staff for probably 15 or 18 years or however long it is. I know Barry Dick's here, and Barry's been at the church for 22 years and been involved in every nightmare and every outreach we've ever done. And such, but you know, if you're there for a long time, things become routine. And I know the definition of routine, but I think that routine, on some things, I think if you're brushing your teeth and flossing, routine's probably good. I think that if you're if your workout schedule, I think that's, but I think serving God, when it just becomes routine in our lives, I think there's a danger to that. I really do. I think we need to value every moment, every breath that we have in serving God. And what happens in our life when we give our lives to Jesus, when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, is that we become new creations in Christ. I know you already know that, but please just write it down. I want it to be just a gentle reminder tonight that we become new creations in Christ. The Bible says, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. See, and if you think about that, if you really meditate on that for a minute, things that you were involved in yesterday or last week or last month, where you're thinking, man, this stuff's holding me back, or this stuff's become a lid in my life. The reality of it, the reality of the identity we have in Jesus is that stuff isn't holding us back. It's not a lid in our lives. It's just the mindset the enemy tries to hold us down with. That we look at our lives, that I'm a new creation in Christ. That means I'm new from yesterday. Man, his mercies are new every morning. God's doing a new thing in our life all the time. But then the second question is, what happens in our lives? Okay, I'm just talking about in us. When God fills us with his Holy Spirit. So when we give our life to Jesus, when we choose to follow Jesus in water baptism, and that we choose to pray and get in the Word, and we choose to maybe partake together in the Lord's Supper, we choose to attend church. Man, I'm going to make a big commitment in my life. I'm going to go to church. I'm not kidding you. Once a week, I'm going. It's a big. That's the biggest commitment I think that we really make, is that first commitment when we just decide I'm going to be a churchman. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be a part of the church. I'm going to attend. Everything else are just little decisions and little commitments that we make. But then we get filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, listen, the dynamics of the Holy Spirit is he in our lives, he's so active in our lives. And see, and that's how God's Word becomes active in our lives, is because his Spirit's in us. So now it's the Spirit and the truth. And that's the only way that we can worship God. You know, I'm gonna read in a little bit from John, the fourth chapter. You can turn there right now, because we're gonna be there for a few minutes. But he said, there's a time, and that now is, that we worship God in spirit and in truth, not just in function, or not just in, listen, routine. And God gives us a spirit then, and what comes with his Spirit is a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, and an understanding. See, the deception of the enemy that, I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, and it's like, I don't know if I could do this. Anybody else have that feel where it's like, man, the Bible, the book, I remember thinking, the book is so thick, and the pages are so fine, and they're so thin. I don't know, how do you find things in this? You know, I remember thinking, okay, great, you got chapter and verse. Why don't you just make this easy and just call out the page number? I can't find the book. And it's like, it's so, how do you remember all of this? And I'll tell you how you remember it: by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit active in our lives causes us to remember. Here's what he does. Listen, he reminds us of everything that Jesus said. How does he remind us? Man, he leads and guides us in all truth in God's word. See, it's not that I've got memory of something that I never knew before. No, as you read the word, you know what it does? It activates in your knower. See, that's what comes alive in our lives. What comes alive in our lives when we give our lives to Jesus is God makes that knower on the inside of us come alive. So now when you see somebody getting picked on rather than pile on, no, you know what you're going to do, man? You're going to go to their aid and you're going to be that good Samaritan. Rather than listening to a joke that you used to laugh at, that it's like, oh my gosh, I love it. Rather than look upon somebody for what you can gain or how you can abuse them, you can't do that anymore now. Why? Because your knower's been activated. And it changes who you really are because now you know the truth. And it, just by knowing it, now we live in it. If we live in the truth, the Bible says it sets us free. See, so we're born again, we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and he leads and guides us in all truth. And you know what else the Holy Spirit does? Reminds us of everything that Jesus said and things we didn't know. So here's where I want to go now, okay? I want to go to this place now where the times in your life where you just, man, I don't know what to do. And you'll think, okay, God, I just submit this to you. But if it's this ethereal submission, then we're thinking, okay, God's just going to have to work it out on my behalf. Well, you know he is, but let me just tell you. Now, what happens is the truth on the inside of you, where you're free now to make the right decisions, and the Holy Spirit that leads and guides you in that and shows you things that you didn't know, forewarns you and forearms you for everything that's ahead. Man, I can't tell you, there have been hundreds of times in my life where I had a warning of the Lord. It's like, oh my gosh. You know, when I hear people that have traumatic things that happen in their lives, I just think, did they just try to sidestep or did they stiff arm that warning of the Lord? See, I don't go to, hey, God, why did this happen? I'm just telling you, my walk with God, I don't go to, God, maybe you caused it, or God, why did it happen? I don't ever go there, ever. Here's where I go. God, I just thank you that there was a warning. And God's always going to forearm us and forewarn us. And I believe sometimes we miss those warnings, or sometimes we stiff arm, or sometimes we sidestep those, we juke those warnings. And you know what? It boils down to this. And this is something that I believe is an opening statement of this message, is people are going to do what they want to do. Sandy and I talk about this all the time. People are going to do what they want to do. Now, we minister to people whose marriages are on the rocks, and then it splits. If it splits up, it's like, you know what? Man, we can't convince somebody. Man, whether it's decisions, if people are going to do what they want to do. Well, I'll just tell you, the bottom line is, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And let me just tell you, we put a demand on ourselves, on our children, on everybody in our house. Is, you know what, we're going to serve God no matter what. We're going to make decisions that honor God, that honor the work that God's doing, honor the will that God's put in our lives. See, so we've been born again. We've given Jesus the Lord of our lives. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's active in our lives. And what he's going to do tonight for you is we're going to thank God tonight. We don't have to ask him. We just have to thank him because his word's already promised he'll lead and guide us in all truth. So we're going to thank him tonight for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in every person that's in this room and watching on the internet in Skytook in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Turn your Bibles to John 4. And as you're turning to John 4, let me read Romans 8:11 to you. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. He'll give life to, what that life is Zoe. What that life is the God kind of life. God will give his life where we once had mortal life. So now it's supernatural. That's where the supernatural comes in, because of the same spirit, that Holy Spirit. Now John, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself didn't baptize. Don't you love that? Man, we're doing the work. Let me just tell you, I baptized more people than Jesus did. You know why? I'm doing his work. It's God's will. That's the commission that all of us have. I'm telling you, it's amazing. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. I wondered about this. Why did he need to go to Samaria? So that this next thing could happen. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the reason is, and you're going to find out later, the reason he had to ask somebody for help is he didn't have anything to draw water from. He didn't have a bucket, he didn't have a jar, he didn't have anything. He didn't have anything to hook to that rope to drop it into the well. You have to also understand that this Samaritan woman was going to the well, A, to get water, and B, to meet men. That was the custom. Single women would go to the well. They'd get water. See, even women of ill repute, they'd go. And so here Jesus is. Here's a woman. And his disciples, then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew..." She's like, you know, something doesn't make sense here. She already knew this is a setup. That's what she's thinking. "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you'd have asked him and he would have given you living water." Now listen, the woman said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and as well as his sons and his livestock?" Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again." This defines natural life. No matter how much money you make, no matter how many jobs you secure, no matter how many friends that you have, no matter what your vehicle's like, no matter how much your house is like, it's never enough. It's never satisfying. There is no fulfillment in it. There's none. Verse 14, but. See, when Jesus said the word but, I love what comes back, because what it does, it wipes everything out that was previously said. "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." Underline verse 14, put a little star by it, and know we're going right back to it at the end of the message. "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.'" Jesus, let me just tell you, and you're going to find out that here, I'm going to keep reading. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." Okay, here's the setup. "The woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom we are with now is not your husband, in that you spoke truly.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet, you're a man of God. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship.' And Jesus said to her, 'Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.'" He wasn't trying to be politically correct here. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth," the Holy Spirit and his word. "The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.'" Let's go to verse 28. "The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you don't know.' Therefore, the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of he who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white unto harvest." And he said it, man, with explanation in his voice. Man, here it is. What fills me is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's what fills me. That's what fulfills my life. See, there's so many people, the bottom line is there's no fulfillment in life, so nothing's ever good enough. There's not a marriage that's going to be good enough. There's not a job that's going to be good enough. There's not a vehicle or residence that's going to be good enough. There's not a vacation that's going to be good enough. Why? Because the only thing good enough, the only good comes from God. And see, and that's why you have to understand, every good and perfect gift comes from above. It's not just good. Listen, it's good and perfect. God knows what you have need of before you can even ask. But see, we have to understand the key to life is fulfillment. And the only fulfillment that we have are the two questions that I opened the message up with today. It's when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, what happens? When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, what happens? See, you have to understand the dynamics of this now changes everything. The spirit of truth. Now listen, the word becomes the spirit of truth and it comes into your life where you know things that instant. I'm just telling you, it's instant wisdom. There is no way you can read God's word. There's no way that you can speak God's word, be filled with the Holy Spirit and not hear God's voice. See, that's what we have to understand. That's how you hear God's voice. You read his word. You proclaim his word. The written word of God is his logos. And you know what? Thank God for his logos. But you know what? The spoken word of God. It's the same thing, except for what activates it is a human being, is a man or a woman that's speaking God's word. It becomes the rhema of God, the power of God. Man, it comes alive. It's sharper than any two-edged. It activates all the power of heaven. I'm just telling you, it connects heaven with our life when we just simply speak God's word. We look at our finances and we say, God, we just thank you today. God, I stand in agreement that all our needs met according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. And you know what happens? It activates it in our life. Man, these signs will follow those who believe. They'll cast out demons. Man, how many people, how many guys? Man, I was in a situation this last week, and I had to leave because there was so much demonic activity there. Man, it grieved me. And I left there just thinking, God, I take authority over that in my life, in my home. And you know what? Man, it was the middle of the day. It was just a bunch of people. It was a business setting. Man, you think about the times in your life where you're like, oh my gosh, this is oppressive here. Man, there have been meals that Sandy and I have been sharing with people that we share with somebody. And you know what? Man, there's like an anxiety that comes in. And say, we'll be leaving. And Sandy said, you know, man, I got anxious there just like I did when I was around other people and she talked about things. And you know why? There's demonic activity there. But the Bible says that, you know what we can do? We can cast out devils. The Bible says we speak with new tongues. If we touch any deadly thing, it won't harm us. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. See, none of this is a point of contact. As he is on the earth, so are we. See, that's the identity that we have to have, but we have to have that knower on the inside of us that's clicked in. Now, we have to know. We can't just say, well, I wonder if this is okay. How far is too far? How much is too much? It's like, are you kidding me? That's how the world operates. That's not how we operate. See, you can't, the soul realm of your life, you can't negotiate that. You can't play with that. You can't dicker with that. You know what you do? You let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know what that requires? That requires massive wisdom. That requires the supernatural nature of God. You know why? You'll say yes, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And people will say, man, it's not that easy. That's not good enough. No, it has to be that easy. Because all our words do, the Bible says this. Man, with many words, transgressions surely follow. Man, there have been times where I've tried to soften the blow for people and not just said no. Man, it happened just recently. Man, I was in a staff meeting. Man, I didn't want to be so demanding and say, so you know what I did? I softened a little bit. But I said, hey, it'd be good if everybody did this. You know what's funny? Man, we look back on it and people said, well, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be here or not. See, here's the interesting thing about leadership. It's yes or no, and people, there's a desire in people. There's a desire in me to be led. See, the attack on leadership right now. You know, it's interesting. Brooklyn asked me just last night. She said, why would anyone run for president? I believe it's a call on people's lives. The Bible says the heart of the king's in the hand of God. Why would anybody want to be in ministry? For real. Why would anybody in their right mind want to pastor a church? Because let me tell you something. If you do a good job with it, it grows. You know one thing that's required in growth is change. So now, Justin, how long have you come to the church, Justin? 18 years. You've seen some change? You had to deal with it. You had to process the progress in your heart. Things change. Man, I remember the buy-in for people when they came. Steve Brubaker, Barry Dick, Mark, all those guys. That man, they came. We had lunch 3 times a week. No, you know what? My calendar dictates who I have lunch with now. I'm not going to say, hey, I'm going to call the fellas. We're going to have lunch. We're going to go to some buffet. We're going to go to the Royal Dragoon over there and have some lunch. But oh yeah, the girls don't like that. But the fellas in here, how about some Dragoon? But you understand things change and then it grows. And you know what you deal with? You deal with people's hurts. Because you know what I prayed for years? God, that we help hurting people. Well, you know, you deal with hurting people, and that's what you deal with. And you pray for people, and you minister to people. Man, when they check out of the hospital, and they're back on their feet, and they're back at work, and they're doing great, there's rarely a phone call saying, hey, I'm doing great, man, we're all good. Man, I'll be in a meeting or something, and I'll hear somebody go, what happened? And they'll say, oh, yeah, he's back at work, he's doing great. Oh, yeah, she had her baby, the baby's fine. It's like, oh, good. I've been carrying that. It's interesting. Why would anybody? But here's the bottom line. It's because people want to be led. People need to be led. See, that's what Jesus did. You think about that woman at the well. This is fascinating to me, what happened. What happened was she went to Jacob's well to get water, right? She runs into a Jew who tells her that none of her daddies and none of her daddy's people have been worshiping God on that mountain because Jews are the only ones that are doing it. Okay, so she's got to take that. And then, so she goes to the well, Jacob's well, to get water. She runs into this Jesus, and he communicates that he's this new well. Man, I got water that you don't know of. I've got water that if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And so go, I want some of that water. How do I get that water? She said, the Messiah's coming. I know the Christ. He said, it's me. She left. And what did she become then? She went to the well. She met the well. And she left to be in the well. See, that it transformed her. It activated that in her life. See, we go back now to what happens in your life when you make Jesus Lord of your life. What happens in your life when you are filled with the Holy Spirit? You know what happens? You become a well of righteousness, a well of right standing with God. Man, a well of blessing, a well of promotion, a well of abundance, a well of with no limits. See, that's what happened to that woman. Man, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're with isn't even your husband. That's probably why you're hanging out at this well. And the next thing you know, she becomes a well. And what happens? Many came to see Jesus. Man, he told me things that happened that no one could know. He told me things about my life. I'm just telling you, he may be the Christ. And the next thing you know, all these people flock. Man, why did Jesus have to go through Samaria? He had to go through Samaria so I could tell this story tonight. See, that's how this works. It's a life-for-life exchange. It's a transfer. God takes our life and he gives us his life. And it's the most remarkable thing the world has ever seen. Man, that's what communion is. That's what a church experience is. It's a life for life exchange. See, and we get to a place, is your life right with God? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? See, those things are important. It's not notches on our belt. Man, I found out from one of our interns that at the end of a celebratory meeting on Monday or Tuesday of this week, she raised her hand and she said, I'd like to tell you that my sister and her boyfriend got saved, answered the altar call. He was an atheist. And her voice is cracking and her voice is trembling the whole time. And it's not a notch on our belt. No, you know what? That guy came here, satisfied something with the family of his girlfriend, and left here and became a well. See, that's what God's done in your life. The people around you should be able to draw from you, and it's living water that they'll never thirst again. Man, I was at Friday Groceries this past week. I was in the back talking to Eric, and then I was talking to Sandy, and I saw this woman. She's probably 30 years old and looked 45 or 50. You could tell that she was probably a drug addict. She was pushing her cart with one hand full of groceries. Somebody asked her, can I help you push your cart? She goes, no, I can push this cart. But in the other hand, she had in her arm like this, holding it like it was a loaf of bread or a football or a pair of shoes. And I thought about it. I thought, oh my gosh, some righteous person gives their shoes on Barefoot Sunday. The very next week, a woman comes in and gets those shoes. What's going to happen in her life when she puts those shoes on? You know what God's going to do? Man, the spirit of truth that came from that person that gave those shoes, man, those shoes become a point of contact, not the person, but the shoes. The shoes, man, God's going to begin to deal with that woman's heart. Man, somebody, you know what's awesome about this is we're not giving new shoes to people. Some of the shoes, I guess, are new, but you know what? They're all gently worn shoes. So people realize that receive those shoes that someone gave their shoes. Someone gave a pair of shoes. Someone cared enough. Somehow, someone was convinced to clean out their closet and give their shoes. You know, I think about that. I think giving those gently worn shoes are probably better than giving new shoes. Because at some point, somebody's going to put those shoes on. And they're going to think, maybe God does love me. Maybe this is real. Maybe there are real people out there, real Christians out there. God, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for the living water that flows in this house, that flows in our lives. God, I thank you that gently worn lives in here, God, begin to transmit your word into lost and dying world. God, thank you for the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives in us now. God, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, I pray specifically for people sitting in that great church in Skytook right now. God, that your hand's on every life in this room. God, you're doing a work in them. God, that you're faithful to complete. Just let the Holy Spirit minister to you right now. Let the Holy Spirit connect with the spirit of truth that came from God's word that's in your heart right now. Let God do a work in you. We're in no hurry. God loves us so much. God, we worship you. God, we worship you in spirit and in truth. God, we thank you for that you're the yes God. God, we thank you that you're the God of promise. And God, you're good to your word. God, our food is to do your will and to finish your work. God's protecting you of things. There's things around the next corner. God's already delivering you from. God's protecting you from it. Now you just follow righteousness. You be led by your peace. You let God's joy be your strength. Remember, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God, such an awesome time with you. You're such an awesome God. God, we're so appreciative. God, thank you for the atmosphere that the Holy Spirit operates in right here and right now. God's bringing health into people's bodies right now in Jesus' name. You're not leaving here today the way you came. You're leaving healthy. You're leaving here, listen, fulfilled. That's just filled with every bit of God that you can get.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.